Good morning. Hello, it's 10:07 on a Friday morning. I'm wearing a shirt with buttons, so it must be time to start the show. You're listening to The Real Estate Fix with Rich Sherman on your hometown station, KHTS 98.1 FM and AM 1220. Just to remind everybody, call-in lines, we're going to start doing call-in this week. Call-in line is 661-298-KHTS. That's 661-298-5487. You can also email me. We did get a few emails after last week's show. Very excited about that. We're going to answer some of those today. You can also email me at thefixwithrich@gmail.com. That email address again is thefixwithrich, no spaces, thefixwithrich@gmail.com. And anyone who emails, I will answer your email. I promise. I've answered all the ones that have come in so far. And I have a couple today that I thought were good that we talk about on the air. Also, later today, after I think our second segment, we're going to have Sam Chong with the Mortgage Hub joining us. He's a friend of the show, sponsor of the show, and a very, very good lender, somebody I've had the privilege of working with for a number of years. Sam is fantastic. He just finds ways to fix these things. He's got a very, we can figure out a way to do it if we put our heads together kind of attitude, which is fantastic and definitely what you're looking for in a lender. He's also incredibly honest. He's given away deals and sent people that would have happily got done deals with him to go do deals elsewhere because it was better off for the client. And that is a rare thing in any business and especially in the mortgage business. But let's get right to business. It's called The Real Estate Fix, so let's see if we can fix some problems here. So I got a couple of emails over the last week. And I want to talk about them. One of the first ones I think we'll take on because it's a pretty good subject to go for, a pretty popular one. It's important. I think that people don't know enough about this. From James E. Rich, I have a reverse mortgage, and they sent me a letter telling me I'm in foreclosure. I thought they couldn't foreclose on a reverse mortgage if I'm still alive. Yeah, that's what they tell you on TV, and that is what they say in all the ads and all that good stuff. Reverse mortgages, by and large, the vast majority of them, or what's called in the business is home equity conversion mortgages, HECMs, home equity conversion mortgage. They are federally insured by and large. I think the vast majority of them are federally insured. There are some issues with reverse mortgages. They tend to be kind of expensive to get, and they're not always the best idea. I don't think they're bad necessarily. There's plenty of good reasons for getting a reverse mortgage. So, but to answer your question, James, yes, they can still foreclose on you while you are still alive, despite all the promises to the contrary. And I will tell you why. There are really one of three things. Either the bank thinks you're dead, which we've run into more than once, and then you have to prove to your bank that you are still alive, as crazy as that sounds. But we've gone through it. Or you haven't paid taxes or haven't paid your insurance, and those are numbers two and three. Those are the other reasons. And those come up most commonly. Very rarely is a reverse mortgage impounded, meaning that they're paying your taxes and your insurance out of it as well. So you, as the reverse mortgage holder, are expected to pay those costs yourself. And if you don't pay them, the bank will then step in and pay them typically, because you don't want a house that's uninsured or whether you're not paying your property taxes. But then they will initiate foreclosure proceedings. So that's what we see all the time typically. Now, to illuminate this, I'll tell you a story that it's a file I'm working on in the office right now. And it goes something like this. Very nice gal. She's 77 years old. She has a reverse mortgage. She's here locally. And in her case, unfortunately for her, her bank is an outfit called Carrington Mortgage. Now, Carrington Mortgage is a company I've had to deal with many times before. They are not a terribly well-run organization, in my view. I think they're very, very bad at this. They should go do something else rather than mortgages, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to, though, because they're a $122 billion company, so I doubt they're going to listen to my advice on this. They're based in Anaheim, so they're a California company. But a little bit of background about Carrington. As a matter of fact, Carrington just got fined by the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They're the outfit that watches over mortgages and things like that federally. And what the head of the CFPB, the director Rohit Chopra, had to say about it is that Carrington Mortgage unlawfully withheld legally mandated pandemic protections, wrongfully imposed fees, and reported false information to credit reporting companies. Homeowners were misled and denied key protections at a time when they were in most need of help. Basically, what happened is Carrington refused to provide federally mandated relief that they were told to provide under the CARES Act during the COVID crisis. Carrington not only didn't provide that relief, they instead decided to charge people what can best be described as junk fees for all kinds of ridiculous things that were unnecessary as a way to build their own profit, as a profit center for them. And I'll tell you about this particular file in a minute to eliminate the specific. But anyway, they got fined by this. Now, the laughable part about this, unfortunately, despite the CFPB's good work in this regard, they fined Carrington a grand total of, are you ready for this? This is their big fine for stealing from their clients, $5.25 million. And that may sound like a lot of money, $5.25 million, $5.25 million, unless you realize that Carrington currently has $1.22.1 billion with a B, billion mortgages under their contract. So they're a $122 billion company who the CFPB in their infinite wisdom caught doing stealing from their clients, not providing relief during COVID, which their federal law mandated them to do. And their big fine is $5.25 million. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. That is a mosquito fart and a windstorm as far as Carrington is concerned. To point that out, Carrington also just voluntarily, this fine was just in December of last year. This is new, relatively. November, the month before, Carrington voluntarily settled a class action lawsuit wherein they set aside over $20 million to get out of this class action lawsuit. And the people suing them for rolling fees up on them and charging what they weren't supposed to charge and doing things in direct contradiction to the COVID guidelines, their big settlement is anywhere from the people who got taken advantage of get anywhere from $5 to $5,000. And I promise you, most of them are getting $5. I also want to talk about the CFPB's, in addition to the $5.25 million they were forced to pay, which again is couch cushion money to them, let's talk about what they're now supposed to do. They're supposed to provide redress to consumers because they wrongfully charge fees. They repeatedly provided false information about the pandemic protections. They lied to their own consumers. They botched homeowner credit reports. They incorrectly reported and damaged consumers that way. So they're supposed to provide redress to consumers, which I guess is the $5.25 million because it doesn't describe it any better than that. They're supposed to repair their faulty business practices, which I promise you they will not do. I have been having problems with Carrington Mortgage for years. They started in 2007. I think I started having cases and problems with them about the same time. They are not a well-run organization. Goodness help you if you have them as a mortgage servicer. So they're supposed to repair their faulty business practices and, of course, pay the fine. They'll pay the fine, but the other two things aren't going to happen. I promise you, 6 months from now, a year from now, we will still be talking about Carrington. We will still be talking about how awful their mortgage servicing is, and we will still be talking about how they abuse consumers. Let's get into this case I was telling you about. She's 77 years old. She gets a letter in the mail. Her house is in foreclosure. She understandably was concerned, so she went to her son and said, "What is this?" He tried to call Carrington, couldn't get anywhere with it. He turned to his sister, said, "Hey, how do you do this?" She tried to get to Carrington, could not get any answers, couldn't even get an answer to whether the house was really in foreclosure. She went to her two daughters. One of them eventually came to me through an acquaintance, an attorney I work with, and she just wants to know if her mom's house is in foreclosure. Now, I would like to know that as well. Now, we did a title search, so we do know that it is, in fact, in foreclosure. But when you call Carrington, they can't tell you. They have had my authorization on with Carrington, because we have to do this in writing. We sent it in last Monday. As of Tuesday of this week, they still had not, quote-unquote, received it. It was in their system. They could verify that it was in their system, but nobody had looked at it. Now, I don't know what it takes to look at a one-page email that has a one document in it that is authorization, but apparently it's more than Carrington could muster in over a week. Also, this house is in foreclosure. Every day that goes by, her case for defense gets weaker. Their case to take her house gets stronger. Every day that goes by, we get closer and closer to the foreclosure sale date. Carrington knows this. They drag their feet intentionally because they know this. It is in their interest to drag their feet. And the reason for that is simple. The more pressure that is on the client, the more likely they're going to call uncle, the less Carrington has to do about it or should do about it to fix it, in their view. In other words, they've turned being wrong into a profit center. So in this case, I'm still arguing with them. Last conversation I had was with senior management there. We went through several different managers. Somebody finally admitted to me that, yes, the house is in foreclosure, which, again, we knew because we checked the title records and talked to the trustee. But they still don't know why and still can't officially talk to me because they don't have my authorization. So I don't know. Let's ask producer Andrew. Andrew, when you send an email, how long does it take usually?
Oh, seconds.
But not 8 days.
No.
So not 14 days either, you would think? Okay. That's my experience too, but sometimes I think I'm losing my mind a little bit because I sent them an email with the authorization and a power of attorney, for goodness sake, almost 2 weeks ago now. As of today, still can't talk to me about it. We were told that certainly by Wednesday of this week, they would have this sorted out and they'd be able to talk to us. Here we are on Friday, still can't get anybody on the phone. It's completely ridiculous. As a matter of fact, we made a little video of this because the last phone call was so ridiculous in my office. We'll post it as soon as we get it edited down, because it was an hour and a half long, so we need to edit it down. And that was just one phone call. And again, I only have two questions on this file. Is it in foreclosure? And if so, why? Because they're going to tell me they think she's dead, and she's not, she's alive. They're going to tell me she didn't pay her taxes, which she did, and we can prove. Or they're going to tell me she didn't pay her insurance, which she did. Matter of fact, I think she has two insurance policies on the house right now because they force-placed insurance on it, which is what banks do at an outrageous cost. And she has her own insurance. So this is very, very, very fixable. But I can't get anybody on the phone. It's just utterly ridiculous that this bank has the power to foreclose on this woman, to take her home. And again, she's 77 years old, to take her home, and yet they don't have the ability to get on the phone. $122 billion in mortgages, and they can't get anybody on the phone. It is absolutely outrageous. Although I will say, when you do call Carrington, you get to be kind of a world traveler, because you'll start maybe in someplace in the United States, but they'll transfer you very quickly to someplace that's way offshore. I like to ask people where I'm talking to them, where they're from, just so I get kind of a feel for who I'm dealing with. And the problem is, when you use people who are not in the United States, it's hard enough when you use people who are in the U.S. for this, but they have no idea what the laws are. They have no ability to do anything or to fix anything. They're what I call javelin catchers. Their job is there to take arrows, to take javelins, to just go, yes, sir, oh, I understand, sir, oh, I'm terribly sorry, sir, oh, that's too bad, and then do exactly nothing, which is what Carrington excels at. I don't know what else to say, except if I were Carrington Mortgage, given what they've had with the CFPB, given what they've had to do to settle class action lawsuits, I'd be embarrassed that their customer service was as bad. If I worked for Carrington, I would start every phone call with, hi, I work for Carrington, I'm terribly sorry. And then I would go looking for another job, because they're absolutely awful to deal with. They are literally taking advantage of little old ladies, and that is reprehensible. Reprehensible. This is also a problem that could easily be fixed if they would just get on the phone and deal with it. But no, they've decided it's more profitable not to do it that way. So here we are, and that is the magic and wonder of Carrington Mortgage. So to get back to James E's question, can they foreclose on me even if I'm still alive with a reverse mortgage? Yeah, they can. And will they? Yeah. Will they break the law at times to do it? Sure. Absolutely. You have got to be able to defend yourself. And people like Carrington, back to actors like Carrington, know very well that their customer base is reverse mortgages, especially, are a little bit older, not going to pay a whole lot of attention, be able to deal with the phone trees you have to deal with them, and the various paperwork that you have to deal with them. And I don't see most 77-year-old women staying on the phone, men either, for that matter, staying on the phone for an hour and a half, yelling their heads off, just to get a supervisor on the line who tells you they'll call you back within 2 days, and they didn't call you. I don't see most people who be able to get this fixed on their own. Now, luckily for me, I do this, you know, for a living, and I have for many, many years. We do it for free, and we fix people's problems for free, and we do foreclosure defense for free all the time. We're very proud of the work we do, and we're awfully good at it. And I'll get this figured out. She's not going to lose her house. I'm involved now. We'll get it fixed. And whatever needs to get done to make that happen, we'll get done. But it is frustrating, to say the least, for me, and it's not my house, and I'm not the one who's risking losing their home. But even as an advocate, it's incredibly frustrating to know that you can fix a problem in a single phone call and have to go a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and every day that goes by, the client is going crazier. I mean, my goodness sake, her daughter was telling me she missed breathing appointments. She has to go on these appointments where they put a tube down her throat to inflate her lungs so she can breathe, and she was missing those appointments to deal with Carrington. That can't be right. And when I share that with the people at Carrington, they clearly didn't care. It's not, you know, not their chicken, not their farm. They just don't care. They're involved in making money. That's what most banks do. Banks exist to make money for their shareholders. That's what they exist for. And if you're in the way of that, well, too bad. And if you're in the way even because of the bank's own incompetence, well, too bad. So it's astonishing, the attitude that we see, and the constantly blaming the mortgage holder, constantly blaming the consumer, while their bad acts continue to go on. On this particular file alone, we have the record on it here. This house is the most well-inspected house in Southern California. I know that because we got a hold of, and we still don't have the records, which we're asking for Carrington on this file, but they did send us at least 1 month's worth of files, or I should say the client did, and in a single month, this house was inspected 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. They inspected the house at a fee of $20, 5 times. So Carrington supposedly inspected this house 5 times in a month, took $100 off of what she, or added $100 to what she owes. Why? What could you possibly need to inspect a house that you do not own 5 times in a month for? They also charged for, let's go some of these others. They also charged for attorney fee costs, which are only necessary because they're foreclosing incorrectly. Property inspection we talked about. Property preservation fee. $35 a month for a property preservation fee. I don't even know what that is. I've been doing this for over 30 years. I've worked with every bank in the country. I've worked with Carrington before. I do not know what a $35 property preservation fee is on a reverse mortgage in foreclosure. I have no idea. But yet they're charging it. So they're rolling up roughly $200 to $300 worth of just extra fees every month due to their own mistake. And this is after they just got caught by both the CFPB and a class action lawsuit saying you guys are rolling up fees incorrectly. You're not allowed to do that. Knock it off. And yet here we are. So, no, they're not going to change their behavior because of the CFPB. No, they're not going to change their behavior because of a class action lawsuit. The penalties aren't steep enough. $122 billion under contract. You charge them $5.25 million in fees when they're clearly found to be wrong. It didn't fix things at Wells Fargo. It's not going to – Wells Fargo did something really similar several times. It's not going to fix things at Carrington. Now, what we're going to do to fix this particular client is I am eventually, if necessary, going to get a hold of the president of Carrington Mortgage, if that's the way it needs to be, or their legal department, or somebody who can actually take some responsibility and get this done. And they're going to answer those questions. Is this house in foreclosure? And if so, why? Because once they admit the why, I can get it fixed. But they've got to admit the why first, because I don't know. They have not told us. So, yes, James, if you have a to go back to the question, if you have a reverse mortgage and you are still alive, yes, they can absolutely still foreclose on you, even if you pay your taxes on time, even if you pay your insurance on time, and even if you are, most importantly, not dead, they can still foreclose on you because their incompetence can only be fixed by the homeowner, and they are not in a hurry to take responsibility. They'd much rather foreclose and make some money in the foreclosure. Because that's just the way they behave. It's money, it's profit over person. And it's wrong, but that's just the way they do it. But anyway, we'll move on to other – I'll keep you guys updated as we go, and we'll get this fixed for them. I promise that this client is not going to lose her house. We will keep up with this. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Sam Chong from the Mortgage Hub. We're going to talk a little bit about next question on here, which is about first-time buyers. And we're going to tell you guys how you can get free money to buy a house. I don't know about you, but I love free money. Free money's fantastic, and there's a fair amount of it out there if you know how to get it. We're going to talk a little about something called the rental rebate program. So if you are currently renting, you're going to want to pay a whole lot of attention to these next two segments because we are literally giving away thousands of dollars to help you guys buy a house. So when we come back, we'll have Sam Chong, who's with the Mortgage Hub, who's a friend of the show, sponsor of the show, and a lender that I've used for many, many years. And we're going to talk to him about first-time buyer stuff and about how to get free money to buy a house. So make sure you keep listening. And I'm Rich Sherman with the Real Estate Fix at KHTS 98.1 on your FM dial, AM 1220. And when we come back, Sam Chong, and we'll talk about money for buying a house. Welcome back. You're listening to The Real Estate Fix with Rich Sherman. I'm Rich Sherman. Those of you who wish to call in, if you want to talk about anything live on the air, we can be reached at 661-298-KHTS. That's 661-298-5487. Or if you want to email me with a problem, we'll be happy to answer it. It's thefixwithrich@gmail.com. Again, that's thefixwithrich@gmail.com. Anyway, on the line we have Sam Chong with the Mortgage Hub. Hi, Sam. How you doing this morning?
Good, Rich. How are you?
There we are. Hey, Sam.
Good
I'm good.
To the show.
Good. Thank you. We're having some technical difficulties earlier, so I'm glad we got that sorted out. Well done, Andrew. Again, thank you for making it all work for us. We have a question that came in I thought might be a good one to ask you. So Gabriel W. wrote in last week. He said he's 24 years old. He's engaged. His fiance and I have good jobs and good credit, but they have no real savings. How much do they need to buy a house? Now I know that's kind of a loaded question to ask you because I'm leaving out a lot of the variables. We don't know how much money they have to put down. We don't know what kind of house they're buying. We don't know what their payment stuff is. But in general, if somebody is looking to buy their first home and they've got good credit and good employment, what are they going to need to buy a house? How much are they going to need?
3% down.
3% down.
That's the minimum. Yep.
Now is that through a government sponsored program or is that private money?
No, that's just so on the conventional side, you have a 3% down program. Which is for first-time home buyers, and on the government side, you have the FHA loan, and that requires a 3.5% down payment. But on the FHA side, there are some, actually on both sides, depending on the qualifications. So there's definitely some, I guess, more details to this, but there are down payment assistance programs available to be able to cover that 3 or 3.5%.
Well, let's get into that because if you're talking the average single family home in Northern LA County now is about $700,000, give or take. So if they have to put down, if you're looking at putting down 3%, that's $21,000. It's a lot of money. It's not unreasonable. It's only 3%, but that's still an awful lot of money. What kind of programs are out there to help people out?
So I think the main thing that I would kind of stress on these down payment assistance programs is they are available. Typically, though you're dealing with, you're going to be paying a higher rate on your on the first mortgage when you accept one of these down payment assistance programs.
Okay.
So, for example, on the FHA side, that's they have a 3.5% minimum down payment. However, you can get financing for either or a financing or a grant for that 3.5%. There's a grant program available, but when you take the grant program, you're going to have higher interest rates on the first mortgage.
How much
you
higher?
Take the 3.5. Sorry, go ahead.
I said how much higher?
You're talking about probably about 1% to 1.5% higher on the actual first mortgage.
Oh, okay, because that's a significant amount, but still a whole lot less than the, you know, if you're getting, what, 2 out of 3% back, so you're taking $14,000 part of your down payment, it might be worth it for some people to get you into the house. Some maybe. Some
yeah, I think it really depends on each scenario.
Okay.
And that's basically the main thing about first-time home buyers is that, you know, we want to really look at this, look at the plan ahead of time. To be able to figure out is doing the down payments, is that going to be the best option for you, or can we do it? Is there a different way to do it where you're actually going to have a lower payment? So planning, I think, is the key portion.
Oh, of course. And I wanted to touch upon that because I think that's absolutely the key. For those of you out there who are first-time buyers or second or third or fourth-time buyers, the key absolutely is get yourself pre-qualified. Get your ducks in a row. I mean, be ready to move. You don't go shopping without your wallet or your credit card. Way to make a purchase. Same thing with a house. It's nothing wrong with looking at houses or looking online. But when you get serious about it, get yourself pre-qualified first. That's one of the first things you should do is talk to a lender. I'd recommend Sam. But you should definitely talk to a lender and get your ducks in a row so that you're ready to go. So you know how much you need to put down. You know what closing costs look like. You know what kind of a deal you're looking to put. You know what your monthly payment's going to be. I mean, you don't want to be surprised with a monthly payment before you get into looking for houses. You want to know what that thing's going to be because that's where the rubber meets the road.
I think the main thing to stress, Rich, is that this whenever you get pre-qualified, it always should be risk-free. And so there should be no cost, should be risk-free.
Absolutely.
And should really have no impact on your credit score.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a main misconception out there is like when people are trying to get pre-qualified, one of the main things that usually comes up is like, well, if I'm going to have my credit ran multiple times by multiple lenders, then I'm going to be dealing with, you know, a negative impact on my credit score.
Yeah.
That is a misconception. One of the main misconceptions out there right now because most lenders, if not all, should be able to run a soft credit pull on your credit to be able to at least take that out of the concern of the buyer.
Yeah, soft credit pull means it doesn't affect your credit. So it's free, it doesn't affect your credit, and then you know. Anytime you can get free information about anything, why wouldn't you take it? Especially something as important as this. I'm a pretty big fan of anytime somebody wants to basically tell me something and work to tell me something that is customized to me for free, I'd like to know. I think that would be a very, very good thing. So, yeah, you should absolutely get pre-qualified if the HOT has even crossed your mind or you think it will in the near future. I also want to touch on there are a lot of clients that we share where they're not ready yet, but they'll be ready in a year. Heck, we've had some that will be ready in 2 years. But we'll get you on track. We'll get you set up. Sam will get you squared away so that you're ready to have financing whenever however long it takes, whatever it needs to be. So that's the other thing. Don't worry about, you know, I have to fix this, I have to fix that before I talk to a lender. Talk to the lender now. Call Sam now. We'll help you fix it. We do stuff like that with clients all the time. Because rarely does somebody come in, at least in my practice, rarely does somebody come in with perfect credit and 20% down. It happens, but it's rare. So most of the time, it's people with problematic credit or a lot of first-time buyers, and we love those clients. My favorite client, I know yours too, Sam, is when they've been turned down or told they can't do something, and they come to you, and you go, no, I think we can. I know that because you've done that for a number of my clients where they were absolutely told, you cannot possibly do this. And then we send them to Sam, and it takes a couple of days, and suddenly we have a way to do this. Fantastic. So that happens all the time. But yeah, talk to the lender. You know, information is power. Information is everything. So talk, find out. So let's get back to Gabriel here. So he's looking to buy his first place. There's all kinds of down payment assistance out there, but it causes the mortgage to go higher if you use it. So let's talk about the program that we do. This is sort of an in-house thing that we do in my practice and that Sam's been nice enough to help us out with and participate over the years, called the Rental Rebate Program, because I like alliteration when naming programs. So the Rental Rebate Program, the way that works is if you are currently a renter And please, I hope you guys are all hearing me. If you are currently renting a property, we can give you 10% of the money you have already paid back to go buy a house. Now, rents are going through the ceiling in this area. They are all over the country. In on average, I think rents went up roughly 26% in 2021 alone, on average. That was just a HUD statistic that got released about a month ago. 26% rise. That's nuts. That means that your $4,000 a month rent, which is already fairly high, is now $5,000 a month. That's a lot. So let's say somebody's renting for, I don't know, $3,500 a month. Odds are, if you're renting at $3,500 a month, you can probably afford your first place. Now, that may be a condo or a townhouse or a small house, but you can probably afford to buy your first place. What is right now, Sam, what does $3,500 a month buy you? Say with a nice normal conventional loan with a 30-year fixed.
You're probably looking somewhere around the 450 to 550.
See, there you go. You can certainly find something around 450 to 550. So something in the fives or in at five, you can certainly find something like that. So if you're renting at $3,500 a month, you know that's going to go up. You can potentially buy something around 500,000. Not only that, if you're renting at $3,500 a month, that means you're paying, what is that, 35,000? Was it 35, 36, or 42,000 a year? We can give you 10% of that back. That's $4,200. That's $4,000. That should help you buy a house. If you've been there for 2 years, that's $8,000. I think the program maxes out at 2 years, but that's $8,000 that we can give you to go help you buy a house. That is literally free money. You do not pay it back. It's just a gift. It comes from a combination of commissions and people cutting fees and things like that. But it is real money, and you can absolutely use it for anything you'd like. Most people use it to pay loan fees and closing costs and that sort of thing. But we've put bathtubs in people's houses. We recarpet people's houses, all sorts of stuff with that money, because sometimes if you're buying your first house, it needs some work. So, yeah, if you're a renter, give us a call. We can help you out with this. You can reach – well, Sam, why don't you tell me how they can reach you?
You can always reach me on my cell phone at 562-484-1907 or via email at sam@themtghub.com.
You can also get to Sam's website and his information through the website at the station, khts.com. You can also get through me, certainly. I can be reached at 661-714-1400. 661-714-1400 is my number. And also, of course, through the station here at 661-298-KHTS, 661-298-5487. So pretty easy to find. But call us anytime because we can fix this stuff for you. We can set you up with this stuff. And sometimes the fix that you need is not necessarily because you have a house already. Sometimes the fix that you need is to get you ready to buy one. I run into people all the time who should own houses who don't, who are paying outrageous amounts in rent, which is great for the landlord. I'm a landlord. I don't mind if you want to do that, I suppose, but it's not necessarily good for you. Most people are far, far better off owning property. You can't make money with property if you don't own one, typically. So you got to get in the game. And given what rental rates are and given where they're going, you'd be nuts not to think about it. I mean, if you have the wherewithal, if you have the desire, you really need to give some serious thought to buying into a property. And the younger you do this, like if Gabriel here gets going at 24, by the time Gabriel's 34, he'll be in real, real good shape. By the time he's 44, he'll be in fantastic shape. You know, we can kind of guide you through this and guard you from having any problems with it and get you set up. So, yeah, so we will literally give you money to help you buy a house. It's real money. You can spend it on whatever you'd like, as long as it's real estate related and can be charged through escrow. And we just give it to you. You don't pay it back. It is a grant. It is free money to help people buy a house because we believe, and I'll speak for Sam on this one too, hopefully I'm not getting myself in trouble, but we believe that everybody should have an opportunity to own a house. You know, an ownership society is what we have here. An ownership society is what you really want to kind of buy into because that's where the money is. That's where the stability is. Yeah, what is it? AARP said that I think it's 98% of people who are retiring must rely on the equity they've built over a lifetime in a property to pay for their retirement because without it, they can't afford to live. I mean, that's how important this stuff is. And the sooner you get involved, the younger you get into real estate. I think everybody knows this axiom, but the younger you get into it, the better off you're going to do in the long run. It's just the way it is. And here's an opportunity where we will literally give you money to help you get started to do this. This isn't a government program. This is just something we do. I came up with this some years ago, and Sam was good enough to help out with it. So this is something we do in-house to help people get into homes because we believe you should own. Wherever you are in the country, whether you're here in California or whether you're in Los Angeles, whether you're – actually, Sam, you guys are licensed kind of all over the place now, aren't you?
Was it – And we're in multiple states.
What? How many now? It's like 60. Yeah, go ahead.
We're in California, Arizona, Texas, Washington, Colorado, And we've got a couple more states pending.
Yeah, the point is, wherever you are in the country, because I know a lot of people don't hear this on the radio, but you'll hear, they'll see it on YouTube, and they'll see it on rebroadcast and other places. If you're looking for a loan, if you're looking for a refinance, if you're looking to buy a house, whatever it is, Sam can help you out. He's your guy. He's who I go to. He's who I send the majority of our clients to. Well, heck, all of our clients do. Because his rates are better, he knows what he's doing, and he'll get this stuff done for you, especially if somebody else has told you they can't do it. Sam will figure out a way to do it. We always do. We always do. He always does. So if you need some, if you need a mortgage, you need any sort of financing, please call Sam at the Mortgage Hub. You can get his information through the show here, through the website. You can call me. You can call him. Whatever works for you. He's pretty easy to find, and he can fix all your problems. Did I miss anything? Did I cover everything for you, Sam?
Yeah, pretty much. I think, you know, I just want to stress again that the planning portion is really the key. And even though I said that the down payment assistance programs typically result in a little bit higher payment in general versus if you were to bring your own funds to the table, I do think that really going into each individual scenario and seeing maybe that is the best route for you to take, because maybe having the funds available is the major problem. But the point is, let's, you know, sit down or have a call about it and see which scenario or which product fits your particular scenario best. And I think there's not a one size fits all.
Oh yeah, it's got to be custom.
Industry.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's got to be custom fit. I mean, everybody's credit is unique to them. Everybody's needs are unique to them. The house they're going to buy is going to be unique to them. Why wouldn't the mortgage be? Of course it needs to be. And if it's not tailored to your needs, it's going to cost you more money, which is just silly.
And the key is always going to be what's the cheapest cost of borrowing, right? What's the smartest way to pay back the rebate loan?
Yep. Strange as it may sound, I've never had a client once say, I would like to make a higher mortgage payment than I absolutely have to on that house. I keep waiting for that person to appear just so I can see, because every time I say I've never heard this, something happens. But no one has ever come to me, not once, and I doubt this has happened with you either, Sam, where they have said, you know what, I would like to have the highest possible mortgage payment I can pay. As a matter of fact, I want the bank to feel good about me paying a higher interest rate. I don't think that has ever happened, nor do I think it ever will.
I don't think
it'll
ever happen.
No.
Nope.
So if you want the lowest payment possible, if you want the lowest interest rate possible, if you want the best loan possible, if you want something tailored to your particular situation, Sam is your guy. I'm very lucky in that, well, first of all, there's a problem in real estate with kickbacks, and I don't do that. Anybody else can do whatever they want. I'm just saying it's how I run my practice. I don't find that sort of thing to be good for all concerned, especially the clients. But I'm very lucky in that I have the ability, because I've been doing this for a long time, because of the type of business I do, where I get calls from lots of lenders. Everybody always wants to be our preferred lender so we can send them clients and stuff, and I'm very fortunate to be in that position. And I'm telling you, even having sort of the pick of everyone, Sam's who you want. And I know that from personal experience. We've been working together for years, and my files are not easy files. My clients, as I said, rarely 20% down to perfect credit. My files are problematic most of the time, and we always figure out a way. Sam always figures out a way to get it done. It's not entirely magic, because he tells you how he does it, but if he stops telling you how he does it, then I guess it'll seem more like magic. But it is kind of amazing. I mean, we have had clients who were turned down by B of A, Wells Fargo, this lender, that lender, the other lender. They talk to Sam for an hour. An hour later, he's got a way to do it. It is nothing sort of extraordinary. So thank you for that. And if you guys are looking for a mortgage, Sam's your guy.
Thanks, George. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Thanks for sponsoring the show as well. So I'm Rich Sherman, and this is the Real Estate Fix with Rich, and that was Sam with the Mortgage Hub. Thanks, Sam. All right, so let's move on. Thanks, Sam, for coming in. Let's move on to our next question. This is one I like this question. This is from a client. Becky S. is her name. She wrote in. She said, I'm behind on my mortgage, which I get a lot. My credit is not very good, but my friend has good credit, and he wants to help my kids and me out. Can he get a refi to help me out of foreclosure? A refi? No, because he's not on title and he doesn't own the house. However, theoretically, your friend could buy the house. You might be able to sort it out that way. There are a number of ways to fix a problem like that. Now, before I would go asking your friend to help, what I would strongly, strongly, strongly suggest is we take a look at your situation and determine that you may not be able to get a refinance, or you may not be able to get a forbearance from the bank, or a loan modification, or something like that. The first thing to do when you're behind on your mortgage, other than maybe calling me, the first thing to do if you're behind or you're in trouble is contact the bank. And I'll find out if she has, but to contact the bank and say, hey, I'm in trouble. What can I do? Because here's the thing with mortgages, and here's the little secret that runs a lot of what I do. The bank would much rather continue to service your mortgage than to liquidate it in most cases. And the reason for that is not because they're your buddy or your pal or they're trying to do the right thing in most cases, although it's nice to think that. The reality is that they are better off financially keeping the loan alive than they are killing it off, because 1% of something is still better than 100% of nothing, as the saying goes. 2%, 1% of something is better than 100% of nothing. So you can keep the banks kind of working with you, depending on the bank and the circumstance. Obviously, not guys like Carrington, they're a problem because it's hard to get them to work with you. But usually, when you kind of get into a bank deeply enough and you explain to them, look, if you guys foreclose, this is what it looks like. Everybody loses money. Whereas if you continue to keep the loan alive and we can find a way to get the servicing sorted out, get this thing back on track, everybody benefits. You guys get to make more money on the loan. My client gets to keep her house, which is the important part. You know, there are ways usually to work these things out. So the simple answer is you can't get a refi exactly. That may just be a matter of semantics. But if you have a friend who has the ability, you could theoretically sell your friend the house. And doing a sale would mean you'd pay off the old loan, which would alleviate the problem that you're behind. It would mean a new loan. Now, of course, there are problems with that as well, because the new loan may be a higher interest rate than the old loan, which will make a higher payment. If you're having trouble affording the payment, getting a higher one doesn't usually help. So my point with that is don't just be locked into, I'm behind on my mortgage, my credit isn't very good, so I have no other choice. There's always another choice. There is always the column C. It's just a matter of getting to it. So what I'm going to suggest in Becky's case is I'll get in touch with her, get her come into the office, and I'll find out exactly what her credit looks like, because maybe we can repair her credit. That's another thing. Maybe we can fix her credit, and then she can do a refi if she needs to. But I'm willing to bet, unless her loan is above 7%, she is going to be better off keeping the loan that she's got and just fixing that loan. So we'll probably have her come in. We'll get her to fill out all her paperwork, the authorizations. We'll get a hold of whoever the bank is. And our files always start the same way. Once we get an authorization in and get that stuff started, foreclosure defense files, the first thing we do immediately is we go to the bank and we say, please give us a copy of the records going back to the inception of the loan, because the bank has to provide them. Those are the rules. If a client asks for the accounting on their loan, the bank has to give it to them. And they have a short period of time, the 30 days, to do that. And then once we have the records on the loan, we'll go through the records and see if there's anything there that's odd. We had one recently where there was 11 years out of a 20-year loan. 11 years was missing. You cannot just have an 11-year gap in the accounting and expect people to pay you. That is ridiculous. That is completely wrong in so many ways, I can't begin to state. So we may find something like that. We may find reversible error, which is going to make the bank a whole lot easier to deal with. Or we may not, in which case you can't do that. But the point is, you get those records. That's always the first thing. It also puts the bank sort of on notice that you're looking into this. I mean, they don't shiver about it. Again, these are billion-dollar companies. But they at least know that you're not handling this like the average homeowner, that you are looking into this because you're looking for an issue to sort out an issue. You're trying to get the records. And sometimes just a record request is a good place to start. We'll talk some more about them when we come back. I'll also talk some more about free money to buy a house. My name again is Rich Sherman, and this is you're listening to The Real Estate Fix on KHTS 98.1 FM, AM 1220, and we'll be back right after this. Hi, this is The Real Estate Fix with Rich Sherman. I'm Rich Sherman on your hometown station, KHTS 98.1 FM and AM 1220. I want to thank everybody for listening today. I want to thank Sam for calling in. That was very nice of him. Sam's the first interview I have ever conducted. I have never interviewed anyone ever before. I've been interviewed several times, but I've never been on this side of the microphone. So that was fun. Sam, if you're still listening, I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that was informative. I hope a lot of people learned what we do. I hope you learned some stuff if you're listening. That is our goal. Engineer Andrew, my producer Andrew and I were just talking off air here during the commercial. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I was driving her to school this morning, and I said, honey, I'm a little concerned. I've never interviewed somebody before. I'm sure it'll go fine. I mean, I know Sam pretty well, and he's a good guy, so I'm not that worried about it. And she said, you know, Dad, I worked at the school announcement system there in junior high and a little bit in high school. I think I've interviewed more people than you have. And as I've never interviewed anybody, I agreed with her. I said, hey, you have interviewed more people than I have. I said, hey, do you have any advice? And she thought about it for a second. I also think she was enjoying the heater and staying in the car longer. But anyway, she thought about it for a second. And she said, just remember to be nice. And then she walked out of the car, she walked off to class. And I thought, what fabulous advice. I don't know, that's just interview advice. I think that's just daily advice. Just remember to be nice. It's not that hard. Just remember to be nice. People will like you better. You will like them better. Your day will go by easier. Just remember to be nice. So good interview advice, good life advice. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get back to the show. So the real estate fix. So let's talk about one more. I got another good email that I like a lot. It's from Jean R. She said, oh, actually, I have a case very much like this right now, as a matter of fact. She said, we have a home in Valencia. We own it outright. We have good credit, and we want to take out a loan, but we have only a retirement income. Can we still get a loan? Yes, Jean, of course you can get a loan. If you own a home in Valencia outright, it is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars for certain. I'll find out where the house is and what it is, of course, because you need to know that, but for sure. But the type of loans you're liable to get, and this is where you need to be careful, you can get, as we were talking about earlier today, you can get a reverse mortgage. It really depends on what you're trying to do. So a reverse mortgage is possible. Of course, a conventional loan is possible, typically, even with retirement income, because there is so much equity. There's nothing but equity, so that might be possible. There are a couple different options that you've got for something like that. The important thing, much like we were talking to Sam about earlier, is we've got to come up with kind of a custom situation. I need to know what exactly you need the money for. I mean, I don't need to know exactly what you need the money for. You might want to go gambling. I don't know. It has nothing to do with me. But what is the overall purpose for getting this thing done? How are we structuring this? In other words, is this retirement money? You need this to live on for the next several years? Are you looking to buy another house someplace? Are you looking to do some sort of investment? Is there something that's wrong that you need to fix? Do you have a relative in prison you need to bail out? That's a true story. What is the situation? Because that will often dictate what the solution is. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Like if Jean here is planning on staying in the area and she needs retirement income to help her afford to stay in the area, which is very common, especially here because it's pretty expensive in Southern California, then yeah, reverse mortgage can be a great thing. It can be a wonderful way to do it. California has more reverse mortgages than any other place on the planet. As a matter of fact, I have some statistics on that, which I found really eye-opening. California, 63% of all reverse mortgages, of all of them, are in California. And that's shocking to me that we do more of them than any place else in the country. Reverse mortgages. I think second, if I remember, was Florida, and they were like 6%. And then, no, I'm sorry, we were 36% in California, 6% in Florida, 5% in Texas, 1% in Pennsylvania. And I think those four states combined, if I'm doing this from memory, those four states combined make up over 50% of the reverse mortgage market. So the majority of it is in California. So you got nothing but reverse mortgage lenders all over the place. If you're a reverse mortgage lender in Iowa, I feel bad for you because it's very hard to get business done there, I gather. But for reverse mortgages, because there's so few of them. But in California, they're all over the place. So yeah, you can set up for a reverse mortgage. That might help. And you also want to keep some thought to, if you do use a reverse mortgage, if you have kids that were hoping to inherit the house, that sort of thing, that might make that more difficult. I mean, like I said, reverse mortgages are a good product. But what the financial industry does all the time is they'll find a little used mortgage product, like a reverse mortgage, and then they'll stretch it and they'll pull it and they'll mess with it and they'll turn it into something that can be more accessible by the public, but a lot of the public doesn't need it. So you wind up taking these relatively exotic, what started out anyway, is exotic mortgage products, and you twist them into a pretzel and under the heading of more people can then get access. What they really mean is they're going to sell it to more people, and that's not necessarily a good thing. So it depends on your particular situation. But again, she's got a house that she owns outright in Valencia, so I'm sure there's a way to raise funds. You go to private money as well. Problem with hard money is they tend to be much more expensive. Right now, about 3 to 6% upfront. Interest rates about 9 to 12%, so probably not something you want to get into. But where there's a will, there's a way. I subscribe to that theory. I've my entire life, my entire career is that. If any of you out there know me and have met my wife, you know that you have to have that attitude. There's no way you wind up with a woman like that unless you have that kind of an attitude. But anyway, yeah, and I do that with everything. So where there's a will, there's a way. We can fix Jean's problem and Becky's problem and Gabriel's problem and James's problem. We can fix all their problems. It's just a matter of taking the time to do it, sitting down with them, finding out exactly what it is that they need, and finding a way to work it out. It's really all that there is to it. It's not that complicated. The only difference between what I do and what anybody else could do is I've just been doing it for a long time, and I do it for free. So that holds me in pretty good stead. I got a quick disclaimer I need to read. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I have a California real estate license, and I have had for over 30 years, so I've got a lot of experience. The opinions I express and the advice I give are strictly my own, and I would encourage anyone who has a question, in addition to talking to me, to talk to other experts as well, and I'm happy to help you out with any of that good stuff that you need. So if you do have any questions, feel free to give me a call anytime, 24 hours a day at 661-714-1400. That is my personal cell phone. You can reach me at that all the time. Again, 661-714-1400 is my cell. My name again is Rich Sherman, and this is The Real Estate Fix with Rich Sherman on KHTS 98.1 FM and AM 1220. It is Friday morning, and I thank you guys for listening. Have a good week. Nice to each other.